we manage access to areas pretty closely.
Okay.
And it's actually intended actually not to be, because one thing we can do is we can manage the activity that's in the courtyard in between. Mm-hmm. But you really can't have two places if you're going to manage both of them.
Just like the first thing, we do have the, it's a 6 foot appropriate metal pin, it's not just a standard rail that they can have.
Right, it's high. So just to give the property a little context, we're talking about what's over here. The existing Swell Retail, Tyndall, First Street. Vehicular access into the garage, there's 70 spaces for 95 units. The ratio's a bit higher, a good deal higher than what we have here. I think it's 0.73 per unit.
Yes.
And we're like 0.57, I believe, here. And that carries, that same ratio carries with beds also.
95 units, how many?
70
beds. No, I mean, not the parking, but then that.
Oh, the beds?
70 parking for how many beds?
We think it's about 290 beds. I think we say 291 of the schedule there. So it just gives you a little bit of a lay of the land, the entry of the building. So the residential entry is over here, the three townhomes. The leasing center is over here. Then the parking really takes up the rest, the loading area, and then some mechanical spaces on the other side.
And it's a higher parking ratio on this one, both per bed and per unit.
So, you know, we would just advise the same as we did before, that we've got a parking shortage on our U of A structures, and so we would not be planning to sell spaces to anyone from this unit, like the first one, until all the other demand is met. That's not intended that our university park structures meet a shortage of your demand.
And we would be managing this the same way that we managed phase one, which was with the zip card availability. I think the major thing is the zip cars. And then our leases do not include parking spaces. The students pay extra for parking, so it's an extra amenity.
And as I recall, you somewhat try to discourage cars when they get something to you, right?
And actually, our leasing has progressed in the first phase pretty much as we intended, pretty well.
Can you tell me what that is so far? It'd be great for our planning purposes too, because we're always interested in that.
But they're both about 90% leased.
But the ratio of bed students per car or cars per student
well, in other words. I think we're saying the same
thing. Yeah,
we have, but our ratio is about in the 50s per unit, and so if we're hired, we go all the different spaces, and there's just under 600 beds.
Okay.
And we're
going to
about 90% of these kind of beds, and in the high 90s.
Okay,
so it's where I am currently.
So the percentage is
about availability of participation.
Okay.
This one is a bit higher than that. Actually, not so much.
Yeah, I think you're right. It seems like it works better here.
It actually ends up much closer to the university's suggested guideline.
And it's more for kind of a more fluid building.
Yeah.
Is there something, I know that we had previously talked about overflow parking off-site and things like that. There's been some feedback, and obviously you don't have students yet, so this is primarily, campus acquisitions right now, but once your projects have students in them, it'll change, I'm sure. So that parking lot to the north that belongs to the Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue, he's complained that there is so much parking from the campus acquisitions project that, that just basically illegally parks in this parking lot. I'm wondering if there's something that can be done to, you know, to further discourage the students that are moving into these spaces to, you know, from illegally parking in, you know, in business parking spaces, you know, neighboring these areas that, you know, that are, end up competing for those, you know, for business, you know, spaces.
Sure, and, we discourage students, as mentioned earlier, from bringing cars to begin with. And then,
right.
Secondly, I mean, we would encourage any business owner, we would certainly tell our residents that if you park somewhere you're not supposed to, you should have to be told. It doesn't take, if he manages that process, the word to get out gets up real fast.
He's towed the same car 13 times.
Very expensive parking place, right?
$250-some a car.
At time. Well, they're actually, there's a legal loophole that you don't actually have to pay when you do that. That when you go to a towing facility, you call the police, they come and they say they have to remit your vehicle to you without you having to pay. So I'm guessing that that's something that's going on in that. It's a legitimate legal loophole, unfortunately. It's been,
you know, downtown there's a couple of places that they get $250.
Yeah, they ask for it, sure. they'll tell you you owe it. They won't
but
give
this
you
guy's
your car
figured this
until loophole. You call the police, and then the police come and they actually.
You know, Matt, you ought to write or email Steve this afternoon. And I bet that we'd all be placed. No, I'm being real honest. You know,
right.
I think that's how we ought to. Seriously, that's, yeah. So that gets out. Downtown's got a problem. You know.
I mentioned last time nationally, we are seeing all our projects actually increasing
the reduction in cars.
Yeah. Cars. We're building in Madison right now 1,000 beds with how many spaces?
100.
100.
Right. A little extra. 100.
So.
So I know I'm from the audience, but that's one of our real concerns too. If our property is right by your service entrance, and we have our 9 parking places for our residents, and we're really worried that once students get in here, I mean, I already kind of came under the parking and I'm ready to stay in the parking. People will just see this parking and use it. So that's and we're trying to come up with, well, maybe we can put a carport, we can put inside.
From our management point of view, we would really help point out that you can't park in certain places. And the real experience generally, I don't know if this loophole, but once people get towed from a place, that word spreads, and it usually takes care of it.
But I know it's easy for you to say, but now we're going to have to get a permit from the traffic. I mean, I can't just call a permit and say, take me to the park. That's not legal. We have to have signs, we have to make sure they don't have a different car. So that's an issue to us. And I'm actually not as worried about your residents as I am as their visitors.
Yeah.
People are coming to visit and they're driving around looking for a place to park and go, ooh, we'll put them here. So I only have 2 boys in this room. And I think you've addressed the other side.
Speaking real quickly of that, we also talked before about tax issues.
Mm-hmm.
And,
tax.
And about having a place for them not to clog the street when they mass for
right. And we do propose a drop-off. So
okay,
we widened the street for the first phase, and we would like to continue that along. That would allow us to be able to set that back in exactly the same way.
That was a good solution before.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So. Again, the first floor lobby element over here, required bike parking, 80 spaces, I think, satisfies the need, and we have that all provided in the garage. We do have a rack outside also, but generally all this parking for the project is within the garage. That loading space that we mentioned earlier, other support, mechanical and electrical spaces, and then these recessed townhomes that are set back also with the little yards. So those drop down, those yards are a few steps down, and that allows us to nestle those 2 levels of those into that one level. And this is all just one level. I think Bob had asked earlier, that's just a one level parking garage. So just this one little area has the 2 floors that Jim had mentioned earlier.
Is that street 12?
Yeah.
No, I can't remember quite. there.
Yeah, I mean, our civil engineers, I mean, we're down like three steps. It's not a lot, but there would be drainage in those courtyards as part of the solution for that.
I think that came out in the staff meeting.
It did, yeah.
Well, okay, if you're going to talk about flooding, just as we do this, we have flooding.
Let's hold off if we can, yeah.
Okay.
Then we'll give you a chance.
So that previous plan was the first floor, the typical floors above. Again, it's a U-shaped building. The setbacks that I was mentioning earlier, you know, a lot of articulation on the front of the building, and that's, you see what, you know, what that that gives us when you see it in the renderings, the elevations. The first floor or second level terraces, and then there will be balconies above. In this courtyard element, we don't have balconies up the building. We just feel it's a little bit close to be providing those there. Our elevator core that are, you know, quarters along the sides. The lights you see here are the setbacks. So those are essentially the 10-foot modules, which are a bedroom module. So those setbacks kind of work in a modular way. And being that we have less of them, it makes it a lot easier for us to set up our stairs. We don't have to provide transfer stairs. It's a lot easier with just those two steps as we go up and through the building. But this would be above the parking level, in occupied courtyard, and there would be functions out there, you know, seating and trellises and things like that, very similar to what we have in the first phase.
Can you tell me how those step back increments relate to the building next door? I recall it being, you know, stepping back more than 10 feet.
There were some that did. They generally were 10 feet, but there were a couple that were 20 as we got up into the building.
They were primarily?
Primarily 10 feet, yes. And then on top of the building, we have our mechanical penthouse, and then there's a pool element here. We are not allowed to have any really occupiable spaces here, so essentially there's an elevator lobby, and then you're out and you're outside, and there's that element would project past here. But otherwise, there's not any spaces up in that level.
Something we talked about before as well is to make sure there's an established barrier between the high activity, high noise pool area towards the story.
Agreed.
To the west. So it doesn't look like that's exactly there yet.
Right, and we talked about this internally too, handling the edge the same way we did with the phase one, which is the complete inability to access, and then the noise attenuation takes it up.
At the second floor, then up at the end of the building. And then these terraces would be landscaped in a very similar manner to the first phase. Just to give you an idea with heights, the highest element of the building is 74 feet of the occupiable spaces, and then that overrun is 84 feet. I think Jim had mentioned it, but were you mentioning 85? We really are limited at 84. We don't have a need to exceed that, so we are limited at that. Those two level townhomes, and then just the floors of the building, and then the two step setbacks.
The stairwell cap doesn't exceed. That's all under the 84.
Yes. Okay. Yes. The top of roof, which is how the zoning. Parapets can go a bit past
the floor. It looks like your top of roof for the majority of this is at 74.
That's right.
And then the pool terrace.
It's actually even a little bit lower. That 74 takes into account, call it an interstitial space for the height of the pool, the depth of the pool. When you get away from the pool, it's actually a bit lower. So in general, I guess you could say that we're well under the 84-foot cap for the building height, but we're limited at six floors, so if we could have, we would have, but we can't. So
that pool terrace is on top of that lavender cross section there.
No, it's right
at the 74 level. Yeah. That's just the pool terrace, the mechanical penthouse that just handles the.
Just the people that rise up to it, they come to that elevator lobby and then they walk out.
Okay. So but it's not the on top of that is not, that's not an accessible space.
No.
Okay.
That is correct.
In fact, came up in the staff meeting, but not occupied.
Right. It's just, there was a question in the letter that came with the packet that made that I was quite clear on that. So I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then just we're a little bit lower. That gives a little privacy to these courtyards, and it also just allows us to get a reasonable ceiling height within those two little levels. We're excited about those tunnels. Just a section looking the other way, and again, it shows the separation between the existing building and this building, and then the courtyard that we have, the little elevator elements here. And when I say the other portion is lower, it's because it doesn't have that extra 5 feet plus or minus for the pool. Contextual images, these are the same images I used in our previous presentation. And I did that purposely because when you see some of the massing of some of these lovely homes that are nearby, if you look at that with the colors, and it kind of feels like, okay, it's a different building, it's a different height, it's a different use, but it doesn't feel to me like it's entirely foreign to the area. And that's what we think is important, you know, and even towards the rear. And this is very important because we're against the, you know, backing up to these historic areas here, these historic homes. It really, we feel like it has a feel that feels very contextual.
Just a point to that, I don't disagree. I do like the effect as it translates to the west. But what would be nice to see, you know, that is always so different from a rendering is, you know, if you had, that's all going to be you know, concrete, a toned concrete
down here. Yeah.
Only at that level. Then
yes.
What's above it?
That would be stucco. That's a stucco. It will have a different
stucco
texture.
Yeah. It's gonna be like an EIFS kind of thing.
It's a true stucco, okay. But it's a synthetic stucco. It'll have a similar texture to the texture that's on the first phase.
Okay. So that'd be neat to see if you have, just because the rendering makes that all look like it's the same material, just something that kind of. That presents that, you know, the feeling, that difference, you know, when are you?
Yeah.
You brought a sample palette last time. That would probably be effective.
Right. Well, for the meeting in April, we would have a sample board with mm-hmm. materials and things. Right. Again, I mean, just buildings with these terraces, and that's really the idea, is that we provide this greenery that over time. This project didn't look like this when we first did it. It takes a little time for these things to take, but eventually you get this wonderful lushness along the side of the building. So we were talking earlier about heights. Here's our building at 84 feet. The campus acquisitions building, it's 159, I believe.
Right.
We're at 130 exactly. and then these, you know, we're saying 20 here, although I think I was here some that time you were saying that this
56.
Is 56, so we were... Actually, we were just saying what the existing building heights were on those.
Right.
And then I think we have another one that just shows the box. Yeah, so that's. And then we did some images just of photographs from around. And these were, again, the same ones as we used before. So you see how this building fits in relationship to this building. Sorry, it's an older photograph, so it's not done. But it at least gives you the mass. And, you know, you get a good idea of how significantly smaller this building is than both of those. From a distance, again, you know, quite a bit lower. More in the foreground, more so you pick it up more, but again, quite a bit lower. And I think there's kind of a neat continuity about the setbacks between the two buildings. As we get further away, actually, pretty quickly, you don't even see the building. And then as we get into the neighborhood, you have a view like this. We outlined where the building is. You don't really see it at all. You get, you don't see the building anymore. So it's that difference in height really does disappear very quickly. And I think that was the intention with the way the zoning is. So it wasn't anything that we did. Then we prepared some shadow studies. These are a little bit washed out, but so this is in the summer. Obviously, the shadows are very short, and the impact is very, you know, really minimal, 9 o'clock in the morning. So we do it in the morning and in the afternoon, and that kind of gives the broadest shadow at those two times of the day. At noon, it's next to nothing. Summer, the shadows obviously don't read that much. And then the fall and the spring solstice, the shadows don't really extend very far, really, in particular to the west. For our new building, it's, you know, obviously a good deal less than it is for phase one at that period of time. At noon, its shadows are very short, and again, we're just getting across the street with this building, across Tyndall. And then, frankly, in the winter, you know, between the campus acquisitions building and our phase one that really dominates the shadows, we barely create any additional shadow with this building, in particular to the west, even in December. It's really, those two buildings really create far more shadows than this building does.
Not that this is going to affect, you know, our decision here, but I always take onus with shadow studies because my son goes to school across the street at the church there. And at 9:30 when I drop him off in the winter, in phase one is shadowing.
Yes.
That. I mean, so that just doesn't show an accurate representation of shadow.
Well,
just because I've physically been there in the shadow.
Well, that's it. I mean, show what the shadows are. Just, and they do extend across the street. I'm not saying that they don't.
And at that time.
So, Matt, you're saying it crosses Euclid.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely uh-huh. does. That is that the playground is his school is in a shadow from phase one.
Yeah, I know what the playground is.
You say this building crosses over here?
At 9:15 is all the way across.
That's
and
what it's
over
saying.
Onto oh. the
where
church.
The playground is.
That's
yeah.
there. That I mean that's a very wide disparity between what this represents and what is actually
keep in mind that we've taken these as snapshots.
Right.
The shadows you're talking about are a different time than what these are. So it may cast. I'm not saying we cast the long ones. You have to take a snapshot of time. So we take the summer solstice, the fall, the winter.
Maybe the winter solstice.
But this should be
the winter.
The longest
right?
shadow.
8 a.m.
at
9:30.
So I'm physical evidence indicates that. As I've always contested shadow studies.
Yeah, but you know, Ben, at 7 in the morning, that shadow for sure will be lower.
Oh, I'm not there at 7, hell no. But at 9 to 9:30, it's still there.
It's not like we have a date on winter solstice.
By the way,
my next
son
will be there.
You might want to go past that.
Okay. We can't read this. This is our fine print. So that's the zoning analysis. It really, it's essentially it's. You know, we're with it's readable. You have it in the book. You can read that. So we did, and then we went through the Maygate design district, district design standard plans, and then through environmental conscious design, you're required to select five. That you would comply with, and we do that, and we think that we probably have a few extra, just like we did at the first phase. I'm not going to go through all these; you have it in the book. But really, all the design standard elements, we're in a position where we can very easily comply with these standards and these requirements. And just had this in there for informational purposes, so we had the plan survey, but. So with that, I think we are saying we'll hold questions to the end of what we wanted to present to you. So here we are.
All right, I'm going to allow the lady that started to talk about the drainage situation to ask.
Yeah, so this is way out of my realm of expertise completely, but in 98, when the building went in, there was a I don't know if they slanted towards the alley, but the alley gets a lot of water. And we put up drums to keep it coming into our courtyard and the middle of the hall spaces. And I know Judith Gray is flooded a few times. She has a basement and I have a few times. So whatever you do, you can't make it worse.
It's going to, it's actually,
do something to make it better.
The great thing is it's going to get better because it's going to be engineered. But just there's far less pervious area. That whole thing is either a hard roof or a hard parking lot. So that's all has to run off somewhere. And with what we're doing, we're gonna have a lot more surfaces that absorb, you know, rainwater by design. I mean, just because we have those areas and it's part of what we're doing, and also just most of those areas are then gonna drain into, you know, storm sewers and whatnot. So we, you know, that's gonna be engineered. We have a local civil engineer that knows this area and it's been working with us.
Drainage in the alley. There's only one, so everything that goes through there tries to get through that one small.
Yeah, we were talking with the staff with the different departments. I believe we were talking about our storage stuff going out towards Tidwell. So that's, so which would be better. It's going to be better though, because of just the simple fact that there's so much soft area that just where the rainwater gets absorbed. It will, and again, that parking lot, who knows what's going on with that, that we could have settled it just what it is for you.
Are you
going to
do any, when all this is done, is the alley
going to
be the
same?
Because it's kind of chewed up from
water. That's when you get a chance to channel it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
right.
Yeah. That's
a good point. Discussion among the group.
Just one quick point that I guess Rick, you brought up in staff meeting, the articulation on the north side.
Yes.
Articulating that.
We think that that's a very good idea, and okay. we'll the next time we see each other, we'll have taken another pass. That. And it really along the rear too, we think that we could do a little bit more there. The idea that we carry around there, we want it to feel like it's part of the building, so we've not really studied that yet, but I think that we'll do something that feels right with the building that adds a little more visual character to that.
Personally, I really like the choice of colors and materials. I think it's really well done.
Thank you.
Another thing I'd like to note is that, first of all, thanks for letting me ask questions before, so I don't have anything.
You've got to talk to that guy.
Well, it was helpful to be able to ask a few when the things on the screen. But I want to say that that this is absolutely a great way to handle this process. Thank you for coming in with so much to talk about. You've gone quite a ways. If we had a big objection about something, it probably caused you a lot of pain. But I think that I appreciate having an opportunity to give input a little early. And I think that in this case, having pulled so much from what we gave as input on the first phase and utilized it effectively again or in an appropriately modified way on the second phase has absolutely made this a much more pleasant experience for all of us in the first time.
We learned.
So I really appreciate those efforts. And, city staff is a great way to do this too, to have a, before we have to make a decision, early discussion while there's still time to make a change if needed.
We were very excited, frankly. I mean, I couldn't wait to show all of you the building because we really were happy with how it turned out. And,
I think it's great.
I think what you've done with the articulation of the facade is super. My only question is there any opportunity for harvesting rainwater and using it for irrigation?
Well, that's one of the design standards that I think we could also attain. Yeah, I mean, yes.
So you would have internal collection? I'm
not sure how we would go about it because we have, obviously we have drainage taking place, so how that's channeled is really this, how you solve that is the solution.
You don't have any collection tanks or anything that anything other than a purely passive approach?
Right.
I'm talking active cistern collection plus the HVAC.
Right, we could do both. And, the nice thing is that we have that court area towards the south of the building where we have some opportunities where that could be a great place, for instance, for a cistern to set. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that will, it's not that hard to do, and it's actually not all that expensive either, so I think it's really a good way to grab one of those credits.
That was desirable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good demonstration.
Right. So I'm in agreement. I do like the design. I like the modern context here, and I like how it softens up the West End, of course, as well. And I am going to bring up our phase one issue.
That was a good time.
I'm bringing it up just briefly here because I think there's something important about the difference between what we're agreeing to here and what we're what actually happens. And this was a comment that I made. And on November 14th of 2012, I want to make sure that if we have changes, that that we're not going to have changes. This isn't just something we've come up with, philosophically, and then it changes, in which we are now witnessing that there have been changes and there has not been a return to this committee. Before we sign off on anything, I just want to make sure that we have something procedural in effect that will prohibit that from happening again. Not just because I thought we had an agreement last time that would have eliminated that possibility. I don't want to just go with you know, a word of mouth, you know, agreement.
That was my impression as well.
I want something, I want something that's you know, more integral to this process. There will not be changes. And I don't know how and where we can get into that after this, that happened, but it did.
Yeah.
And so it has to be addressed before we just say, go ahead. Yeah, I want to make sure that we're not face out again.
I'm not sure if you had talked to the other DRC members about what you had brought up, and I think I'm going to just go to the one photograph that... this is really how it's what exists out there now, but what Matt's referring to is that the west side of the building has less glazing than what was originally approved. And as we went through our design process at that side of the building, as we were trying to solve the like 30 different units that exist at that side, it ended up that the solutions for these, we had bathrooms and closets, which we really had a hard time doing elsewhere. So we had a lot of areas that ended up being wall that was solid wall that we had showed as glazing. There were some areas at the top, for instance, where we have actually more glazing, but there are areas where there's quite a bit less, and that's the concern that Matt had brought up. And as we were going through the process, it was part of us, you know, designing that element of the building. It was really the hardest part of the design, which I think is probably understandable. You all know how those things step up. And being just transparent, it was a mistake on our part that we didn't come back as we were going through that and talk to the DRC again. We were, I think, so close in it. You know, in concept, it's the same. That we have, the steps are exactly as they were designed. Those haven't changed at all. The landscaping all exists, but we really had a difficult time getting that glazing in and getting these units to work. And frankly, we had to get the units to work. But that doesn't really recuse us from having come back and talking to you about it. It was a mistake.
Well, there are big differences as you travel even around the sides. I mean, the fenestrations are different on the west end. They're different.
The west end is.
On the west end of the building, they're different as you even wrap around those steps, you know, stepped areas.
But that's my point. That's those are difficult. All, I mean, we have transfer beams, all sorts of crazy stuff that go up. And that's part of the.
I'm not contesting that you don't have that. You didn't, feel that there was a need to change it. The problem is that it changed significantly. There are balconies that have. That have pillars on them, and there are some balconies that were originally designed to be open above them, where the roof now comes out, and there's pillars. I'm not contesting that these, they're just changes, and what I see as very dramatic changes to one entire facade. That it's an oversight. That doesn't change the fact that there's a gross change in design and. And
the glazing is very different.
So is there a process step that could prevent that from actually happening again?
What's the point of design review?
Exactly.
What we see is not...
They've just made this process moot to a degree.
I could say what I think would help, you know, with us as we went through, I mean, we just went through it, so we're talking about it, and we're talking about doing it again, and we have, you know, some similar things. I think that... we should have, with that kind of thing, there probably ought to be a return process as you're going through and developing it, taking it to, let's say, almost just pre-construction documents where there's a final pass with those elements to as a confirmation.
If there is a change.
Jim and I have talked about this. I think there's a couple of different options. I think that... having, because the design professional is available, pulling. If there's an opportunity, the question of whether or not there's changes is a really difficult question, because in a normal course without a DRC approval process, the kinds of changes that you're seeing are normal parts of construction. Right, but for having gone through a DRC process. So there will be some changes that occur when you go from design level to construction level. The issue is catching the stuff that really implicates the design approval. And so some of the stuff that we talked about was when you're at that transition from development plan, you know, approval, which is where we are when we go through this, to construction drawings, having an opportunity for the design professional to take a look at those changes and determine whether or not there are changes that have been substantial enough to design to bring forward. That's a system that I think can be enacted within the city. What Jeff is doing is taking responsibility on behalf of all of us, that we knew how serious that was, and we didn't, we made the changes and we didn't call it to the attention, and as a team, we all apologize for that.
Ironically, simpler changes were brought to my attention, more of engineering related.
I think we'd be happy to be a part of improving the process. Very much like emphasizing from Jeff's part, I think Carrie's point's well taken. This is a fairly normal part of construction, and going from conceptual design to what it actually takes to put the building together and build it. There was really no intention to circumvent the process or not. I don't know what was approved here. It just, it's sort of, you know, it's evolution.
I think we believe that. We're just after a method that prevents it.
Sure, and whatever we can do to.
We don't need to flog anybody anymore.
I'm personally also interested in seeing if there is something that can be done to affect this. I mean, just only a primary reason for that is, I, you know, as a West University, you know, DRC member, and probably just because I'm involved with you know, with other review boards and people know me, you know, just being related to construction, and people are asking me, like, is that it? They're surprised, some are shocked, you know, that this is what it looks like. They're frankly upset because, you know, what they were told based on agreement has changed dramatically and significantly to one direction, and that's the neighbor's direction. So I recognize, you know, apologies are fantastic, but that doesn't change what happened here. And moving forward without even seeing if there's something that can be done in this case, you know, I think I would not prefer that. I would like to see if there's something we can discuss about how to affect this. I mean, there are three stories on some of these that are just three stories of blank wall, and a transitional greenery on one level of that, which is only going to possibly hide some of it, is not going to suffice to blanket what, you know, is currently a massive blank wall on this west end. And it is such a juxtaposition to what we had looked at. I mean, the fenestrations really are what complemented that whole essence. So that's what I would like to do, is to see what we can do with what we have here now to affect a better result.
Well,
I definitely want a change to the process so we don't see it happen again, obviously.
Right.
What are we also going to do to affect a change here?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable going forward and approving anything until I have greater assurance that what happened with this last situation is not going to happen again. I think it was substantial change without a very transparent conversation. It is dramatically different. It has put in question our credibility as a committee and what was promised on a real groundbreaking project.
And
I appreciate apologies, but, you know, when a trust level has been broken, I'm not willing to approve anything until I have some assurance in terms of a policy that this is not going to happen.
Jan, is that a policy where when we make that transition, where those changes have been made, that the design professional has an opportunity and is required to see those?
Yes.
That's what we see.
More than opportunity to see it.
I think
it's part of the process. It's one of the approvals.
I think all the DRC members should still be notified of any changes, even if the design review, you know, the design professional has seen them and has decided, well, those aren't necessarily, you know, significant changes. all of us should still be a part of that process.
I agree.
What we approved and what has changed.
Sure. Sure. And then as well, we might have a comment to there are some elements that we could change here.
That's fair.
Without having to have a full-on, necessarily a full-on, re-review of the whole project, but
unless it was
we all should be notified of that.
Right. One thing we could do, and we'd have to do this together, it just isn't this side of the table, it's also your side of the table, that when you do make a motion, make it very clear, because when I look back at the motion that was made on that, and we were all learning how to do this, and the motion was kind of vague. It was kind of we approve it. I think if we're going to get down to it has to come back to us, then in the motion, it should be stated a little bit more clearly. We consider these to be substantial changes that trigger it coming back to the design review committee.
I guess
that would help a lot, because then if we had a special inspection by the design professional and we have clear direction, then it works together.
So we have a design review committee at the university, and we review projects at a couple of points, and we have very effective policy that anything that's going to change the appearance of this facility, as far as the views from the campus are concerned, or going to change the way that the exterior areas of the campus are utilized in any way, has to come back to the committee.
Oh, it could be as simple as that.
I don't think we want to start drilling down and say, well, we have to make sure that every window, but there needs to be a general policy.
Right.
If it changes the appearance of the building to the neighborhood, to the community, that needs to be before. Right.
I think you just have to solidify
that
the statement in the motion.
It should be in every motion, whether we remember to say it or not.
I personally think it was in that. I mean, it wasn't necessarily in the motion, but that was a very explicit question that was asked in that meeting.
Absolutely.
And it was a very explicit reassurance that this type of thing was not going to be what was going to happen. I want to make sure that that's also, it wasn't like we made some willy-nilly motion about this. We were very clear. This is what we were presented with is what we would receive. That was a clear
demarcation. That's what we were told.
Absolutely
really clear.
Right.
I'd like to say too that during our meetings, we very specifically asked that part of the building address the neighborhood. That was the reason for all the imagery
exactly.
You brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously we couldn't do it on that corner. That was a pretty sensitive area.
So what can be done to make this better?
Well, it's not done. There's a lot of work that's still going to take place on that elevation, and I think that's, we're looking at an unfinished elevation that's going to have a tremendous amount of landscaping applied to it. There's railings that wrap along this whole thing that have a huge effect. What you're seeing right here is that elevation as it's built right now, and I'm trying to look at that and say, that really doesn't give you the effect, but I mean, that's not the effect that we were trying to get at.
Could I make a request? Could we, since we missed this review of the change before, could we ask you come back to us with a complete little presentation of what it's going to, you're saying it's not done, it's going to look better. I want to see what better is going to look and be, and soon, so that, it's not, if you'd have told us, 2 weeks ago, it would have been easier. I think that we should get that little view now, because it's not that I don't trust you, but I can't visualize what you're describing. And I'm not at all certain, based on what's happened so far, that we should accept and say that's just going to be true. I'd like to first be able to see it, if we could.
Sure.
You put together a portion of your elevations and a little quickie study that shows what it's really going to look like now, since we haven't seen that yet.
Of course.
Are you saying the city has no enforcement capacity over ensuring what was originally shown is what the final product has to be?
I'm not saying that. It's just, I think, how this played out was that once it got into the building inspection part of it, we assume, and all the plans show the presentation that you have. When you look at the development package, it has those it in it. At some point in the process, there became a disconnect.
But is it not the city's obligation to make sure that what is presented is what is built?
Yeah.
There were change orders that the city technical people approved.
And
they're not so accustomed to reviewing things for design intent the way that we do.
I've been managed many projects where we have changes that take place. I mean, but the thing is, nothing to this degree and scale I have a real hard time understanding how at the inspection level such massive changes would have just gone through with that meets code. It varies so significantly from the plan that would have at even just a simple inspection level, 13 stories, that would have just gone through. I understand. I've just been on projects where I've had a harder time, like getting something to go through that, with a small change.
I agree. I'm not, what do you want me to do?
I think we're doing what
we were just as shocked as you are. Like, I'm going, what happened here?
Right.
I made a request that we get a presentation out. Can we approve that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is an item here. It says future agenda item.
Great.
Hub one can come back as to the west elevation.
So what if we don't agree with what we see in this presentation?
With this presentation?
When they come back, what they're going to do.
Meanwhile, construction is taking place. We're going to be told what it is and what. So what?
Which presentation are we talking about?
I'm talking about
phase one.
Then coming back and show us what phase one really
is. See what they're intending to do. Well, so what? I mean, if we don't like it, so what?
Can we make it a component of phase two that we get satisfied?
But meanwhile, construction is happening.
Yeah, it doesn't change the result.
Part of the argument was that it's not done.
Let me ask a couple of follow-up questions. So we all see what it looks like right now. It doesn't have any of the vegetation up there. Replacing what's there material-wise is going to be difficult, if not impossible. So some of the stuff that we're talking about are what we were trying to achieve with the first, right, when of what you guys approved.
Mm-hmm.
What ideas do you all have? We have our own on ways to the step backs. Still all match, so there wasn't any change, fudging, whatever on the step backs. It's the material between glazed and a stucco type material,
which
I'm not suggesting it's not. So I'm not trying to belittle it, but I'm trying to identify what has actually occurred. What can we do to soften that? If it's additional plantings, if it's plantings that carry over to soften that look.
I'm just going to say, as a landscape architect, don't count on those plants doing really well,
right.
Okay? You're in the most extreme condition. You're going to be lucky to get some presence of green, but having it serve as a screen for that is just not realistic. Well, so it's not going to be the band-aid that's being suggested.
Well, and I'm trying to get at the question, Jan, that you asked, because it's an important question, and it's an important question to us too, because the building is built. So we want to help be part of the solution to figure out what to do about it. We can't make it match what it was that was from before. Mm-hmm. So what can we, looking, I think we figured out how to solve this for phase two moving forward. We can design
the changes for you, but some of the toolkit items might be put some windows back in. Some might be put some metal panel, other articulations that give us some relief that the windows gave before when you can't put windows in. Do something to break up that giant stucco wall.
I would like to see in this presentation, go ahead and list the changes. I mean, we can see them from this, but go ahead, like, list the changes that you've made. Show us how you're going to soften those changes with whatever you're planning, and then what are some other conceptual ideas you have about affecting this as well? I mean, without us telling you what it is, mm-hmm. Obviously we don't like what happened here at all. So what can you do? And conceptualize and present that to us as well. I'm noting
that's good
a lot of change, even on the sides, the glazing on the sides, even though those those you know, those straight columns instead of the, you know, the offset windows, the straight columns, you know, and our plans have, you know, there's stucco details that separate those, and they don't look as wide. They, you know, they kind of contain that same narrow. So there are a lot of even, you know, smaller aesthetic changes that happened here that have a dramatic effect. The doors are white, and the windows that are on that are black. I mean, they're like, those are simple things. Like the windows don't match the doors on that west face. That stands out dramatically. It looks like there's some vinyl doors up there next to probably a dark aluminum.
They're not like that.
So are you gonna at least stop construction on that side to where we can have this conversation, or are you just going to march forward with what you're doing and then
it's done, with the exception of the landscaping applied to the terraces and the railings that wrap around the terrace areas.
I like
the stucco finish.
I like what Matt said. That I think that really makes everything real clear. The process that he just laid out, I mean, it's not complicated, you know, it's just very direct.
Well, that's different.
And I think that might be really worthwhile, and then get it back to the committee.
You're talking about showing what was approved and then
what changes were made.
Plenty of pictures of what was approved.
And he wants to
what changes were made. Identify it as well.
Not just the renderings, like this is the rendering.
Here's a picture, try to find them.
It may just be easier.
These are the
to
differences
have,
and this is what we want to do to this is what we had thought would help. But these are also some changes we can make to help.
Yeah.
There's sort of three versions there.
Could I note one other thing, too? When you were going through your presentation on phase two, I even leaned over and told Jan, wow, that is looking great, you know, from a corner. But you're showing the old view of phase one.
Mile. Yeah.
And that's not what it looks like anymore. And I'm a little bothered by that too. That now we're showing phase two in the context that's not going to exist with phase one, because there's a dramatic difference.
Yeah, that's the old model.
So I agree. I understand that these aren't intentional things, but it just doesn't feel.
My issue is with the city. Mm-hmm. So if you're not going to follow up on what the design review committee is going to do, there's no point in doing any of this.
No, I'm not saying putting up. I think, you know, I'm listening to everything here, and I think we already understand that there needs to be some type of follow-up on a regular basis as to where things are, as to what was presented and approved at the design committee. We get that. I whatever happened here, I don't know what happened here that made this go askew, because the other project, when they'd come to us and talk to us about, hey, we want to do this, and in one case, we says, no, you can't do that unless you want to go back to the design review committee. So they kept doing what they were doing. So I don't know why this one didn't happen.
And we wonder why the neighborhoods don't have trust?
Yeah.
So we agree that about Matt's line, would you like to leave?
Yeah, but I want to see what's going to happen. Otherwise, I'm not going to agree to anything on phase two. So there's some assurance that this process is going to be
improved.
Improved.
Yeah, because Bob said we're not here to design it for you. But there, I can think of some remedial ideas that might break up that mass with some material added or color change or something without affecting the material.
Please make an effort.
And how about the motion or language that Bob gave for the future? You know, because I'll be in front of the committee in the future.
I think we should make a motion and actually vote on what we expect. Otherwise, it's going to go into vagueland, and we're going to be in the same boat.
I do too. Yeah, that's what I'm after. And then Bob's language, you got the future when we make motions. So two motions.
One that addresses the procedure going forward, and then another one that addresses the phase one, you know,
exactly.
Review of what's happening and how to fix it.
Right, that'll clear. That you clear it up.
So I would move that by our next meeting we have a procedure in place that effectively has changes that are made to the plans be presented to the design review consultant. All design review committee members are notified of those changes, and if they are deemed significant, those changes come back to a re-review before this board.
That's fine.
I second.
Yeah.
Could we add that we define any change as anything that any modification that could be perceived as a change to the exterior appearance of the building or the function of the areas around the building?
I would amend my motion to that.
That's what you use at the university.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we're just going to table that to follow up on the next meeting, that motion and the subsequent
motion. Oh, that's a motion.
So we got a vote on that. You had a second motion.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right, I didn't know if somebody else had, and just because of this, I don't know if it's because I was the neighborhood representative and it's sort of sensitive, but if somebody else has like some idea of how to conceptualize that, or I move that for phase for the disparity between the the phase one approved DRC approved plans and what's constructed, that that the core campus team come back to this committee with a presentation including the original renderings, and a list of the changes that were made to the to those plans, and a presentation of what they conceptualized would fix it, or conceptualize what it would look like when completed as is, and what they are proposed to help ameliorate the negative effect.
I second that.
Second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Unanimous 5-0.
With one absent.
With one absent. Is that clear?
That's fine.
Okay. Anything else?
Thanks, guys.
We'll adjourn. I'll call to the audience, I guess. Okay, nobody's here. Okay.
See you.
Where are you headed?